Spirit of the living God, fill us with your spirit afresh. Amen. Amen. We invite you in the room, Jesus. We thank you for being a part of this service today. Thank you where two or three are gathered. Yeah, you can have a seat. You are with us. That wasn't very clear. Thanks, Ajay and group. I was just kind of moved by the Spirit to pray after we were singing there. And I don't know if you ever feel that way. If you do, that's a good thing. And it's just really good to be together this morning. My name is Sam, married to Heidi. Got two kids, Anna and Zach. They happen to be in my fan club today. They came to church. It was great. They attend other churches, so it's great to have them here. Well, I serve with Multiply, which is a global mission organization. I'm a regional mobilizer in BC. That just means, I don't know what it means. It means we coach church partnerships on global mission. We run pathways to help the church to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And it's just an honor to do that. And I want to really thank South Abbotsford Church because my family's one of your missionaries. And we are just so grateful for being supported by the church here. So thank you for all you support locally and globally. How's everybody doing this morning? Yeah? Cool. It's an honor to be here to kind of join in this one another series that we've been having. If you've missed some of them, that's totally fine. This Sunday and next Sunday, we've been talking about, you know, loving one another, doing different things one another. Last week was forgive one another. And this week we're going to launch a two-part series, Garth and myself. Garth will be next week on prayer. Pray for one another. You know, James 5:16 says, make this your common practice, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. So we hope in your life groups, in your families, with your friends, as you drive, I want to inspire us to be praying, not just for each other, but also in our times with Jesus. And so last week we were challenged to forgive each other, and it's hard to pray with people where you harbor bitterness toward them, I found in the past. So this is what Jesus is talking about, community that forgives and reconciles with each other can pray together, and it's a powerful thing. If someone came up to you and said, what is prayer? What would you say? I'm serious. If someone came up to you at work and say, why do you pray? Why do you pray? What is prayer? What would you say? Give me a popcorn word, yeah? Conversation with God. It's good. Is that Mike? Don't be shy. I know this is unusual. Why do you pray? What is prayer? What is prayer? Aligning yourself with the will of God. That's what prayer is. Yeah. Listening.
Relationship.
Being. Relationship.
Hanging out.
I like that.
Dialogue.
Got it. I'm told I have hearing problems. Maybe it's listening problems. Anyone else? Prayer.
Praise.
Prayer is a lot of things. It's a lot of things. And I think as we, you know, we had a powerful prayer time about a year and a half ago where we actually handed the microphone around. Some of you might have been here. And we just heard the body praying as we can, you know, expressed our hearts to God. It was a powerful time, and I think we should do it again sometime, actually. It's pretty cool. But how do we go about nurturing a culture of prayer at South Abbotsford Church? How would we learn and grow in this discipline? How would we... This morning, I just want to talk about the joy and the struggle that I find it sometimes is to pray. We all pray. You probably did today. You might have even done it without knowing it. We're all created for prayer. You know that every religion has this aspect of prayer in it. If you, Christians, Muslims, Jews, they pray to God. Hindus pray to a variety of different deities. And I found Buddhism quite fascinating because it's a non-theistic. There's no God. But if you go to a monastery or you go to a Buddhist country somewhere, you're going to find people that are praying with their hands together in front of Buddha's statues of Buddha. For a Buddhist, prayer has three factors: the person praying, the object prayed to, and the object prayed for. I think we Christians have three factors to our praying. We have a person praying, a person we are praying to, and a conversation between the two of them. Just a little bit different, but also pretty powerful to think about. You know, Mike said we're Mennonites. Maybe a bunch of you aren't, and that's totally fine. We do go to a Mennonite brother in church. We have a confession of faith. It talks about prayer. It says, God the Father is the source of all life. In him we live and move and have our being. The Father seeks those who worship him in spirit and truth. And what? Hears the prayers. Can you imagine the creator of the whole universe, this triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, hears our prayers when we pray for all who call on him. Later, talking about the Lord's Day or the Sabbath, which essentially is what we're celebrating today, right? The Sabbath, the Lord's Day. It says, on the Lord's Day, believers joyfully devote themselves to worship, instruction in the word, breaking of bread, and prayer. Prayer. Do we do enough praying? As you come to, do you expect to just get a coffee and then sit down? Or how could we motivate and encourage more of a culture of prayer at South Abbotsford Church? We have fellowship, we have service, we have instruction, we have breaking of bread, we do communion, but we also pray together. I want to take a high-level look to encourage us today at the Lord's Prayer. I'm not going to unpack every verse. I've done a six-part series on this in our discipleship training program called Trek. I won't bore you with that this morning. But I think if you're stuck, or even if you're a veteran and you just love to pray, this prayer is a centering and anchoring place that I think can really encourage us. I'm indebted to Paul Wortman for some of this thinking as well, as he helped unpack that six-part series a while ago with me. But the Lord's Prayer, Jesus' prayer, is recorded in two spots in the Gospels. There's a shorter version of it in Luke 11 and a longer one in Matthew 6. In Luke 11, Jesus is actually returning from some time with the Father, and he's confronted with his disciples. Like, they go, hey, Jesus, Rabbi, teach us to pray like John the Baptist teaches his disciples to pray. How would you respond if that was you? Because you know what Jesus says? Like, well, think about this for a minute. After all the things that the disciples had seen Jesus do, and they've watched him, they're having this conflict, and they're like, John teaches his disciples, you haven't taught us to pray, and we're kind of striking out in some areas, and you're so good at it. Teach us to pray. Well, Jesus didn't go into a homily or a sermon on prayer. He just said, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Later on in Matthew 6, he has a little bit of more context. This is a part of the Sermon on the Mount. And he says this, and I want to read some of these verses. They're probably already up. It says, and when you pray, Jesus said, you must not be like hypocrites. I hope I'm not one of them. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray like this then: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then the early church, first century church, added a doxology to this, and you can study why it's there and not there. There's lots of debate about it. But it says this. This is how we prayed it in school, right? For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? I imagine the point of this prayer being this, heaven on earth. The message paraphrases this prayer this way: Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are, set the world right, do what's best, as above, so below. As above, so below. When we pray and engage in a conversation with our Father, our hearts are longing for a little bit of heaven on earth. Wouldn't you agree? As we sing songs, when you come and move in the room, we are longing for a little bit of a interaction with the kingdom that is just kind of sometimes tucked behind the veil, which is more real, actually, than the pews we're sitting on or this fancy pulpit made out of glass or plexiglass. There is a kingdom that we can see and not yet see that we interact with. And it's above and it's below. This prayer is meant to bring heaven on earth. And again, I'm not going to go too deep into this, but I want to inspire us that this is a phenomenal guide to get us kickstarted into prayer as we launch into more of the fall and come toward Christmas. Sarah Maynard writes a book called The Prayer of All Prayers, Finding Life and Revival in the Lord's Prayer. I highly recommend that book, by the way. It's phenomenal. She spent 4 months praying this prayer every day and just letting it change her, motivate her, challenge her, correct her. She says it's not the only way to pray, but rather it's like an athlete who would use solid routines in practice. She says the Lord's Prayer is not an optional approach for some, that works for some. It's how Jesus taught us to pray. I want to spend a chunk of time right now, though, unpacking a little bit perhaps the disciples' problem with prayer and my own problem with prayer, and I'll bet some of you can relate. So understanding our struggle, not problem, but more of a struggle with prayer, just honestly, I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of you think that prayer sometimes just, sorry, Marilyn, she's our prayer warrior leader, prayer doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. God already knows what I'm thinking, then why bother saying it? Huh? You ever thought that before? Jesus seems to say this in verse 8. He says, the Father knows what you need before you ask him. What's up with that? I'm not going to answer all your questions. I'm going to raise some. So it doesn't necessarily make sense. There's a conflict. But I am going to give you a response to each of these little conflicts in a minute. Sometimes the way we talk about prayer doesn't help. Like we seem to, it comes across kind of weak as a last-ditch attempt. You know, maybe you should just try praying about that now. Maybe, you know, Desmond Child writes a song, tells a story about Tommy and Gina, a working-class couple. John Bon Jovi sings it, working hard. It's called Living on a Prayer. And they're working hard and they're making the vow, this working-class couple, to hold on to what they've got. Whoa, we're halfway there. You're singing it already. Living on a Prayer. Okay, this is for free. Don't make the mistake of ever choosing that song in karaoke. I did once, and it goes high. We'll give it a shot, right? That's all we've got. We're just living on a prayer. It reminds me of this phrase that is pretty familiar too, on a wing and a prayer, right? The dictionary actually describes that phrase, on a wing and a prayer, as with only the slightest chance of success. The slightest chance. And you know what it comes from, right? At least my wife did. I didn't know. But it's like a warplane coming in on a, you know, half shot up, trying to land on a wing. And a prayer. Prayer is kind of cheapened when we talk about it like this. It doesn't make sense. Or the talk show host on a Christian radio station that always ended the segment saying, and remember, I'll be praying for you. And I just was like, shut. Me? You're praying for me. I don't understand. I don't know the motivation there or know the person. But it was like we just throw it out there, right? Sometimes how we practice prayer is challenging. Like what would a culture of prayer look like in our midst? Like really think about that for a minute. What would that look like in your family, in your friendship circles? Does it mean we start and end meetings with prayer? Does it mean we stop in the middle of a meeting when someone's prompted to pray? Does it mean we all pray all the time and we write down what we think we should bring and we come to church with thoughts and words and, you know, from God for each other? Maybe it's all of that. My response to this not making sense is just kind of this. Jesus prayed, and he prayed all the time. In Luke 11, he tells a little story. Imagine what would happen if you had some guests come over to your house and they needed some food and you had no food and you ran out of food. You know, like you didn't have enough. You needed one loaf of bread to complement your soup. And so you go to your neighbors and you knock on the door and he looks out the window from the top and it's late at night. And he's like, no, sorry, can't help you. The kids are in bed and the door's locked, you know, off with you. Jesus says this in Luke 11, verse 8, it says, but let me tell you, even if he won't get up, because he's a friend, because your neighbor's a friend, if you go around, stand your ground, knocking and waking all the neighbors, he'll get up eventually and give you bread. In other words, because he's a friend, or she's a friend, I think prayer makes a lot more sense if you know who's in the house and whose door you're knocking on. A lot more sense. Boldness in relationship is not offensive or out of line, is it? Sarah Maynard also says this on this thought about boldness. The greater the relationship, the more you know you can ask boldly without jeopardizing it. Bold asking is modeled and welcomed because of the depth of relationship with the Father that we have. So push on, friends. You don't need to be discouraged. Have you ever thought, though, that prayer doesn't seem to work? I got a few answered prayers in my life. I've written them down. I've got a whole bunch of unanswered prayers. I mean, can you relate? I won't ask for show of hands. There's many people in this world, not just in Canada, but all over the world, that have concluded that prayer just doesn't work. Our thoughts are with you. It used to be thoughts and prayer. Sometimes in America, it still is thoughts and prayers, but now it's just our well wishes and thoughts are with you. Some think that prayer is just a religious psychological crutch. And you know, I've wrestled. I'll share a quick story from my life. Like 20 years ago, my wife Heidi has cancer. One of her great friends that would show up every day during chemotherapy with a Starbucks in her hand was the mother of one of the boys in my son's class. And you know, within a few weeks, maybe it's months into Heidi's diagnosis, this mom gets cancer. And Heidi comes through it, but not long after this mom has cancer, we're at her funeral, having prayed every day for both of them. And you're sitting there with a family that's lost, and for some reason, we're spared. I don't understand. And I wrestle with the struggle with prayer, and some of you do too. We have painful stories. But don't check out on the goodness of God, I think. On maybe a lighter note about prayer not working. Remember that book in the year 2000 that came out, The Prayer of Jabez? Breaking through to a blessed life. I'm going to pick on it for just a second. You know, does Jesus offer and afford multitudes of blessings living with him? Absolutely. Yes, but there's one chapter in this book, and it's such a short book. It's called Little Prayer, Giant Prize. Little Prayer, Giant Prize. Oh, that you would bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, says Jabez in 1 Chronicles, right? I've prayed that a lot. Enlarge my territory, God. This little prayer, I want a gianter, a bigger prize sometimes. It just feels like it hasn't really worked for me. My response to prayer not working is kind of this. I don't think it's a formula for success or pain-free life. Would you agree? Jesus said, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. Don't bargain with God. Be direct and ask for what you need. It's not a cat and mouse game or a hide and seek thing that we're in. Prayer seems kind of ritualistic, doesn't it, sometimes? Some of our issues with prayer relate to a lack of clarity we've developed about prayer, maybe even the Lord's Prayer. We don't really understand what Jesus is communicating here. We memorize it, we recant it monotonously. I'm so old, it used to be we prayed the Lord's Prayer in school, right? Our Father in heaven, it's like, get on with math. We would just recite it, it didn't mean much. And prayer can sometimes be a little bit ritualistic. We use archaic language sometimes. It can be reduced to bad art and put on a plaque that you put on the wall. I resisted the urge to get a photo of some of the prayer art that is out there. It's cheesy. It's not helpful. Sometimes politicians use it ritualistically to tag on and garner votes. And so we start to struggle again with how prayer is used. My response is this. I'm going to quote Jesus here in Matthew 6. And we've already read these verses. When you pray, don't heap up empty phrases for as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard. So no empty phrases. Rather, bring your heart to prayer. The Greek word for that empty phrases is batalegio, which means to stutter, to stammer, to babble, to make meaningless sounds and repeat the same thing over and over again. Repetition is not the problem, friends. I think rather doing it on autopilot without a heartfelt meaning is maybe what Jesus is getting at. The Father is always looking to engage the heart of a disciple. We can make the Lord's Prayer our own, you know. You can feel it and own it. We're going to do it in a minute with some friends of mine, and you're going to see that, and friends of yours. You know, Father, Jesus saying the Father knows what you need before you ask, I think it's to give us a bit of an assurance that we can pray with trust and relax, that it isn't about getting it right. Here's another great quote. Trusting our Father not only knows our needs before we ask, but knows exactly what we are trying to express, even when we struggle for words. He hears and understands the prayer of tears and the prayer of groans too deep for words. We're not addressing a judge in a courtroom when we pray the Lord's Prayer. We're addressing a Father who has invited us into his home and seated at his table, and we can rest in his love. I love that. And the last thought is kind of, we're kind of conflicted about prayer. We might conclude that God just has better things to do than listen to me today. But you got to come next week, because Garth is going to talk about the conversation and how we hear God, and you don't want to miss it. I'll jump to my response on prayer being a challenge. And apart from the numerous passages about God talking and God the Father interacting with his children, I've been reflecting a little bit on the life of Lauren Cunningham. Anyone know who that is? For about a month and a half now, on October 6th, he passed away. He's the founder of YWAM. He was almost 90, I think, maybe just over 90. And he used to come on, he taught once on the Trek program and gave us a book called, that he wrote, it's a classic, Is That Really You, God? I love it. I've read it like 10 times in my life. And I've been personally impacted by this title, where the founder of Youth with a Mission, YWAM, was launching it way back in his 20s, all the time going, is that really you, God? Is that really you? Like the humanity of that question and the humility kind of all wrapped up in it. He says in his book, the Lord will lead us into victory, but success itself is the most dangerous obstacle to properly hearing God, the voice of God. Guidance is, first of all, a relationship with the guide. Put your dreams on the altar. That says Lauren Cunningham. So perhaps our conflict with prayer is not so much, is more that we don't have people who talk honestly about it and model the mystery of hearing his nudges and the joys of following them. Let me conclude with a couple thoughts on the prayer itself. If we want to understand the heart of this amazing prayer that Jesus gives us, the first thing I notice is that the scope of the prayer covers everything. It's huge. Tertullian, father of Latin Christianity, says it's the essence of the whole gospel. He used a couple of Latin words to describe that. Bavarium totius evangelii. It's the essence of the whole gospel. We're physical beings, so Jesus teaches us to pray, give us our daily bread, wholeness and health. We are relational beings, so Jesus teaches us to forgive our debtors as we've forgiven those who have, you know, sinned against us. And we're spiritual beings, and Jesus starts the prayer with our Father in heaven, way up there, somewhere around here, holy is your name. We can't live without knowing the God who created us. This prayer gathers up, I love this thought, all of life and time. Paul Workman says it really clearly. Our greatest need for the past, maybe you can relate to this, is forgiveness. Our greatest need for the present is provision. Give us our daily bread. And our greatest need for the future is guidance. How many of you are looking to God for guidance? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and set us on a path following the guide. Every concern and longing we experience is covered by Jesus' prayer. Nothing is too big or too small. The scope is big. The flow of this prayer is perfect and right. And you can learn something by just praying it all and praying it start to finish. When you break down this prayer, it's easy to see there's two halves. The first half is three petitions, then a mid-course correction, and then three petitions at the end. First half is your name, your kingdom, and your will, that pronoun your, and then it switches in the second half to the pronoun us. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Deliver us from evil. Jesus is teaching us to pray, friends, starting with God's agenda, not our own. If you start in this way, it kind of puts things in a proper order. Our needs feel less burdensome. And we're all kind of longing to participate in God's kingdom plan. Pray this prayer, and you are. He's showing us how to get it right. He's taking the guesswork out of prayer. And it just means that Jesus is giving a model or a pattern that can help us get into genuine conversation and communion with the Father. You got to try this prayer this week. It's amazing. And lastly, the heart of this prayer is this: on earth as it is in heaven. The scope is big, the flow is right, and the heart is really this. No matter what words you're using, it's like, give us a little piece of heaven on earth. Can we participate in what you're doing? The short, as above, so below. This short phrase is right at the heart of the prayer. We get the dignity of partnering with God by praying this prayer. But how do we have a culture of prayer at South Abbotsford Church? I'm going to end with a story, and then I'm going to invite my friends and the worship team up. I may have shared this story before, but a whole bunch of years ago, I was in Ethiopia on a trip with a bunch of short-term mission training leaders. We were hosted by the Meserete Christos Church, MKC Church in Ethiopia. At the time, it was the fastest growing Mennonite church in the world. It was already at over 100,000 people, and it was growing by 30% a year. In fact, every church had a plaque on the back of their church that said, we're going to grow by 30% this year. And one of the leaders invited us to his house for, I thought, it was just going to be conversation and some good coffee. And it turned into a phenomenal prayer time. The Ethiopians love coffee, and I remember the smell of it. They take green coffee, and they roast it on the fire, and then as the coffee is cooling, they get their grinder ready, and then they pour the warm roasted coffee, and they start to grind it. They bring it out, and they serve it to us. And then the father, who's one of the leaders in the church of this revival that's going on, he says, let's pray. And we still have the coffee in our hands. And I'll never forget watching his two teenage kids get on their knees. One of the boy went behind the couch. The daughter went on the floor, kind of in this position, right? Just face on the ground. Mom turned around on her chair. I looked at the three of us who were guests and went, I guess we better do the same. Put our kind of, what do we do with the coffee? We put it down on the floor. And we started pouring out our hearts to God. There was no starting, stopping. Hey, you close. Let's make a list first. And when I think of a family, I don't think of my family so much. I think of this family as knowing how to, prayer was like breathing to them. And as I'm thinking of the Lord's Prayer and praying through it this week, I'm reminded of this family and the culture that their church had that was modeled in homes. We can do this, friends. And it was such a beautiful thing to interact with the Father with these, these people who had that culture of prayer. I want to invite six people up and the worship team, if you can hear me. Come on up here, Norm, Andrea, Marilyn, Matt, Kenzie, you lost your kids? That's great. We've got a microphone here. This is how we're ending this prayer, this sermon today, huh? Come on up here. In order. Do you guys know your order? Norm's first. I want to encourage us all before we do this to join us on a 43-day challenge. Imagine if we prayed the Lord's Prayer every day from now till Christmas Day. That's 43 days. You can do it while you drive. You can do it while you walk. You can forget a day and do it the next day twice. It doesn't matter. But I want to encourage us to see a little bit more heaven on earth. And if you feel stuck in praying, pray this prayer. And these guys are going to add some voices and their heart to a few of the every phrase in this prayer. So they know the instructions. Say your line. Your line's up there. And then pray. Norm.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Father, we pray that you would be glorified in this place. We pray that you would be glorified in each one of us. Father, where your name has been distorted by past experiences, we ask for your healing to come. We ask that you, Father, would father us where maybe we haven't been fathered, that we would come to know you in a deep place of love and acceptance, in knowing that you have created us and that you have said it is good. Father, where our lives are not being lived in congruence with you, where we're out of sync with you, may you call us back to yourself. Highlight those areas of our life where we are not glorifying you, so that we can confess and come before you to glorify you. Lord, as a church, as we seek to honor you in the programs that we have, in the relationships that we share here in this building and in this group, may we glorify you in all that we do. Father, as we leave this place and we go into our communities, we ask that you would give us hearts for our neighbors, for them to know you and to recognize you as the one who created them, who also says, it is good. Soften the hearts of those that we come in contact with, our colleagues, our friends, our neighbors. Jesus, we desire to raise your name, to hallow it, to say you are holy in all that we say and do.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, God, I just want to say you're king. You're a king in my heart, in my life, and I'm just want to say sorry for the times where I make it about other things that are above you. And so we as a church just ask you, King Jesus, to be at the top of the list, the focus of our attention. You're so precious to us, but you're so important. And so we just fix our eyes on you. And God, with that in mind, we just ask that you would reorient everything in our lives to be about you and about your kingdom. We want that so badly. It's what we all long for. Even if we don't have the words to describe it, we want your kingdom to come. We want to see it. We want it to break through. And so, God, we ask your will to be done, not our own, not my own agenda, not what I think needs to happen or should happen, but what you want to happen, God. We ask this, please. And we know you want this as well. So, King Jesus, we bow before you. Let earth just reflect a little bit more of your kingdom today. May our church long for this, for you to show us how South Abbey can bring your kingdom here in our communities.
Give us this day our daily bread. Father, we just ask that you would give us a dissatisfaction with the stale bread of yesterday, with old fellowship, God, that you would give us a new vision for the new bread that you want to give us, that you would stir a hunger for your spirit. So, God, we just pray for that. We think of our physical needs, God. We think of our bodies, our minds, and we just say, God, we need you. Take away idols of self-reliance, of depending on the things of the world, of having prayer be a last-ditch resort. God, may we come to you with a spirit of prayer and expectation, God. Give us this day our daily bread. Where we've given up on prayer for healing, maybe where we've just decided that it's not worth the ask or the time, that it doesn't work, some of these struggles that Sam talked about. We pray, Father, that we would have expectation, God, that we would come to you. You're faithful, God. You clothe the flowers of the field in splendor and glory. You provide for the sparrows. And how much more worth and value do we have? So, God, give us this day our daily bread, and we pray for those who are around us in our community, that our church, that South Abbotsford, that us as families and individuals, God, would we be your hands and feet to be generous, to love, and to pour out to those around us with hospitality, God? Would you use us to help? Do your will, Father, not our will, but your will be done. So, Father, give us this day our daily bread.
And Father, we ask that you would also forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive us for our trespasses against you, Lord. Even though we know that we're covered by the blood of Jesus, that we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that we are holy, pure, and unblameable before you, yet we know that we sin, and particularly we trespass against you. We are disappointed with you when you don't answer our prayers. Sometimes we're angry when we experience great loss. We're confused when things don't go the way we think they should go or the way Scripture promises us. And Lord, we say, please forgive us, because of what you've all done for us is so much greater than we could ever imagine. You have forgiven all the sins of the whole world. And yet, in turn, you ask us to do this one small task. Can we forgive those who sin against us? And it's hard. It's very hard when we've been hurt or wounded or disappointed or scorned or mocked or our reputations accused. And yet, Lord, it is a small thing when it's only one or two people, maybe a dozen. Most of us don't know what it's like to have the whole world against us. And yet, Lord, you've given us the ability to forgive. We cry out to you. Even in this moment, I believe everybody here in this room has someone in their life that they need to forgive, someone who's hurt them. Lord, can you pour your forgiveness into our hearts, so that this could be a supernatural work of God, where we are unable to drum up that kindness, that mercy. You put it into us. Would you do that for us right now, Holy Spirit? We ask you to come and help us to forgive, that as a church, we would be a forgiving church to each other, to our neighbors, to our community, to those who would speak against us or be maligning our reputation. We want to forgive, but we need your help. Thank you, Father.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here with us. Please come and fill us with your Spirit and presence. We humbly come before you, Jesus, and ask you boldly to give us your strength in our temptations and struggles. Greater is in you, in us, than is in the world. Thank you for protecting us from the lies that come at us through hard times or even misguided good things. Thank you for protecting us from things that we know nothing about, but before we even knew they were upon us, you came to rescue us. Thank you, Lord, that you, for all the times you have helped us choose the right path. Thank you in advance for doing again in the future what you have done so many times in the past. Help us to expect that you will help us. We ask you to do it again. Thank you for extending us so much grace and compassion that you would dare to fill in the gap for us. Please guide us and illuminate and highlight the path that you want us to take. Please give us strength to follow your ways and your leading in every moment. Please forgive us when we think we know what is good. Please open our eyes to you in truth and love. Lord, we proclaim life and freedom in the middle of our trials and temptations, and we ask you to help us focus our eyes higher onto you and your redemption power. Please answer us in a way we can understand when we call out to you. Open our ears to hear you and help us to not miss your voice and leading. We love you and choose to follow you through the darkness. Thank you for leading us out of our darkest times.
I'll invite you to stand as we close and say it with me. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us as we pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are not far from us, that you are not distant or withholding from us. Lord, thank you that you have authority over all the earth, all creation. Lord, Holy Spirit, would you help us to live here on earth like people who take your kingdom seriously and love it, that we would love the least of these, and that we would never be slow to give you all the glory forever and ever. Amen.